Regenerative medicine is one of the fastest growing fields, with new papers published every single day. As a busy mom of two, I'm guilty of not making the time to keep up with the research, and I think a lot of other veterinary professionals are in the same situation. My name is Dr. Adrienne Wright, and welcome to Sit, Stay, Learn, a short podcast where I review regenerative medicine uses in veterinary science. Each episode, I break down a paper, and then we spend 10 or 15 minutes just giving you the details you need to know to feel like you're staying up to date with the research. For today's paper, I chose a study using umbilical cord-derived MSCs, or stem cells, to promote the repair of trochlear groove restoration in dogs. This is a randomized study for the use of allogeneic umbilical cord-derived MSCs. We're just going to call them UC MSCs, or maybe even MSCs from here on out, following trochlear groove restoration, or TGR. This paper comes from researchers in China and was published in Frontiers in Veterinary Science in 2022. To highlight the study design, so the objective was to investigate the function of UC MSCs in the repair of a TGR by injecting suspension allogeneic UC MSCs intraarticularly of the dogs following a TGR modeling. The bone repair status was assessed with four parameters, so they used hematology, behavior, imaging, and pathology. The sample size enrolled was 10 healthy poodles. Poodles ranged from 12 to 18 months, and they weighed anywhere from 4 to 6 kilograms. The population was half male and half female, and dogs were randomly divided into the two groups. So we had a treatment group and a control group. They used a surgical TGR model in this study. Briefly, so they exposed the femoral trochlea, and then they used a scalpel to cut two parallel lines on the trochlear ridge. Then a bone saw was used to deepen the rectangular tangent line to ensure that all the cartilage reaches the subchondral bone. The cartilage flap was separated and the trochlear groove was deepened to spongy bone. The cartilage flap was trimmed and returned to position while the knee joint was flexed and extended to determine normal movement and friction following the patellar ligament and patella being put into the trochlea. So let's dive a little bit into the topic. So the patella is located in the femoral groove, and it protects the knee joint in normal physiology. Patellar luxation occurs when the patella is dislocated from the trochlear groove and is one of the most common orthopedic diseases in both large and small dogs. There are two types of patellar luxation, medial and lateral. Medial has a higher prevalence than lateral. However, lateral is mainly restricted to the large breeds, and it's not actually related to the body weight of the dog. But breed disposition is probably the biggest risk factor here. So you have Pomeranians, Yorkies, Chihuahuas, and French Bulldogs are actually some of the highest, with this particular author reporting up to 41% prevalence in Pomeranians. Other factors do include weight, age, sex, and neutering. So females have a higher risk than males, and neutered males have an increased risk compared to intact males. As a female Frenchie owner, this is super concerning and one of the many reasons that I am opting to bank cells for my own dog proactively with Ardent. You truly never know what's going to happen, and it really does give me peace of mind knowing that I have options for her. TGR is the most common surgical treatment for patellar luxation because it fixes the patella to move within the shoot and ensures that the midpoint of the femur, patella, and tibial tuberosity are in a straight line and in the center of the joint. However, the need for surgical treatment is a bit of a debate. So some doctors believe that surgery should be used to treat all patellar luxations because of the potential for greater joint damage from arthritis and bone deformation. Some believe that surgery should only be conducted if the dog is lame. Either way, TGR works to eliminate muscle atrophy, pain, and the limping caused by the patellar luxation. But TGR itself can also lead to cartilage damage, chronic arthritis, and other complications, which is detrimental to the post-op recovery of those receiving the procedure. So this group makes the argument that by preventing post-operative inflammation and repairing those bony defects, that is the critical piece to repair of TGR when treating patellar luxation. So here is where we're going to introduce the MSCs. So we know that MSCs have healing properties from differentiation, homing, self-renewal, and paracrine signaling. It's been well established that MSCs promote tissue repair, they inhibit inflammation, and they offer immunomodulatory effects. Sources include, but are not limited to, bone marrow, adipose tissue, dental pulp, and umbilical cord. Ardent uses a primary isolate from the adipose tissue, which is actually termed the stromal vascular fraction, or the SVF. MSCs have been reported in the literature for treatment of osteoarthritis and bone defects following dental implants, with good results in canines, along with many other disorders. The choice of MSCs as a therapeutic makes sense here. MSCs in orthopedic conditions is very well documented and is what many would consider to be the gold standard of MSC therapy. And we know that MSCs have proven anti-inflammatory properties, but where my head is going is the use of Ardent SVF here and why it makes both scientific and logistical sense in this case. So buying allogeneic cells from an international bank may work in research, but this really isn't translatable to clinics. I'm not familiar with this bank that they used in this particular paper, but again, I would just be really cautious if you're going to go that route. If you do not have cells in storage for your dog through the proactive program or from a previous injury, then tissue will need to be collected. This could actually be done the same day as the TGR surgery. The technician would then process while the surgery is happening, and cells would be ready to inject that afternoon. For those that have the in-house equipment, or it would be a short 48-hour turnaround if you did not have the equipment. A secondary appeal here is that Ardent's SVF is reconstituted in PRP. PRP itself has well-documented anti-inflammatory effects that would be beneficial almost immediately due to the presence of proteins and growth factors, rather than just cells. So the short-acting PRP with the longer-acting cellular product is yielding impressive clinical results, and I really think it would be phenomenal in this case. Okay, but we went on a tangent, so let's go back to the treatment that they did in the papers. So they did treatment on day zero, which was their surgery day, day 7, and day 14. They did 1 ml of suspended cells at a concentration of 1 × 10^6 cells per kilogram of body weight, and they injected that intraarticularly. For control dogs, they used 1 ml of saline. I think that this dose, we do see in humans, and it was pretty feasible for this study because, again, our dogs were like 4 to 6 kilograms, so they were really injecting less than 10 million cells. I want to keep in mind here, these are allogeneic cells, which always makes me a little nervous. It is fairly well established that a single injection of allogeneic cells is safe. However, what is really yet to be fully elucidated, specifically in dogs, is whether repeated injections of allogeneic cells are safe. There is alloimmunization that occurs where the body develops a humoral response to allogeneic antigens, or cells in this case. And I think that this is a very real possibility. Here at Ardent, we have several instances of dogs that seek us out because we do not culture our cells because the dog has developed an allergy to the fetal bovine serum used in the cell culture media of their cells. And in these cases, those cells are actually autologous. So repeated injections definitely gives me a little pause. But again, there are ways around this. You would just have to consider this as a risk. So for example, what if you switch donors every single time? Would that be less of a risk? Do you pool the cells? Would it help if they're litter mates? Are there medications that can be administered at the same time to help with this reaction? Do you screen and type the donor cells? I honestly really need to look more into this. But In regards to this paper, they do repeat injections, and we know it is aloe, but we don't have clarification on whether or not these cells are from the same donor or different donors, or were they pulled. That's not really disclosed here. No allergic reactions are mentioned, so one would assume none occurred, but I think a statement would have really been helpful here and strengthened this paper. And keep in mind, this is to me a plus for the autologous therapy side. With Arden's SVF, the cells are autologous, so repeated injections are really not a concern. Okay, we could sit here and debate and postulate all day on this, but let's just get to the result of these injections. So for the blood work, at all time points, the total number of white blood cells and neutrophils were within normal range for both the treatment group and the control group. Comparing the treatment group to the control group, at day 7 and day 21, the number of white blood cells and neutrophils were significantly lower in the treatment group, but they were not different at day 3, 11, or 15. Specifically, the total number of neutrophils at day 21 was much different in the treatment group when you compare that to the control. It actually had a p-value of less than 0.001. So that tells us they were very different. The plasma inflammatory factor test results were unremarkable. No significant differences of IL-6, MMP-13, or TGF-beta-1 levels between the groups at any time. For the knee scoring results, total score shows that there were no significant differences between the treatment and control group on the 2nd, 3rd, 6th, or 7th day following the TGR. But there was a significant difference on day 1, 4, and 5, with the treatment group having a lower score than the control group, and much, much lower, again, a p-value less than 0.001 on day 1. So a lower score can be interpreted as better recovery. So that tells us that day 1 was a lot easier on those dogs that were in the treatment group than the control group. Although not significant at all time points, I really want to look at the trends here. The N is only 5, so the differences would have to be quite large to be considered significant, in my opinion. So if you look at the average for the group, the treatment group scores starting at day 1 is at 14.6, and it falls to 6.2 after 7 days. Compare that to the control group. They start a little higher, so they start at 17.2, and it only goes down to 11.4 by that day 7. So in 7 days, the average score felt in the control group is between what the treatment group felt somewhere between days 2 and 3, which to me shows that the recovery was very much enhanced from the treatment. So on to the CT results. Although these results are subjective, I do think that they tell a story. The group describes a healthy groove as high echo, clear shape, continuous margin, and a uniform bone density. At the first reading, 9 days post-TGR, both treatment and control group showed irregular margins, incomplete shape, and periosteum. There was a bone defect between the cartilage flap and the bone tissue polished by the bone saw. For the treatment group, the cartilage appears hyperechoic with continuous and neat edges and a restored bone contour at 65 days post-TGR. The cartilage defect increased in density and formed connections with the earliest return to normal time at 37 days. For the control group, from 9 days to 65 days, the group had an obvious interfacial gap between the cartilage flap and the damaged bone tissue with an uneven trochlear groove. Bone contour and bone mineral density were greater in the treatment group compared to the control group. For knee joint recovery, the cartilage flap and bone tissue were damaged and the ridge of the trochlea was cracked in both groups during the process of the TGR. Wound skin in both groups healed well in the treatment group. After the 3 doses, new white cartilage had appeared at the bone defect of the trochlea, forming connections with the surrounding cartilage. For the control group, the amount of damage in the joint was similar to what was seen on the day of surgery with no new cartilage tissue formed. For the histopath observations, again, subjective, but they tell a story. Normal joint tissue showed chondrocytes neatly ordered, cartilage matrix uniformly stained, and perichondrium was intact and continuous. In the treatment tissue, the cartilage matrix was not uniformly stained. We had chondrocyte defects. They were observed along with cartilage defects and fibrous hyperplasia. The perichondrium was continuous without fissure. In the control group, cartilage was absent at the damaged site with fibrous tissue hyperplasia and disordered chondrocytes. The matrix was not uniformly stained. The perichondrium was fissured with uneven density and vacuolated. Basically, new cartilage tissue was present in the treatment group and it connected to the surrounding cartilage tissue, but this didn't happen in the control group. So takeaways from this study. Treatment group showed low pain sensation, a stable gait, and fast recovery of muscle strength that you see in the knee score. Wounds healed in 5 days. Although neither group completely returned to the values that were seen pre-TGR that was in this observation period, the trend was that treatment group was recovering faster. Dogs in the treatment group had more willingness to walk and run on the affected limb. New cartilage that connected to surrounding cartilage was present in the treatment group, but not in the control. And overall, treatment dogs healed better, and this study suggests that intra-articular injection of MSCs with a TGR relieves pain, promotes repair of the bone defects, and makes the limb recover function earlier. Overall, I think this paper was pretty decent. It had a good control group, which is necessary for orthopedics. I would have liked to see more quantitative measures, but again, this is the difficulty with those studies involving orthopedics. Has anyone used Ardent cell therapy or PRP only with a TGR? If so, what results did you see? We would love to hear. And that's all for today. What are your thoughts on the combination of stem cells with TGR? Or would you opt to just do PRP? For the text version of this episode, you can head to our blog. If you have questions on this episode or a paper you'd like for me to review, you can email me at adrian@ardentanimalhealth.com. I hope you all have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next time.